you know, physically, we have socially, we have no idea what is being played with and, you know, behind the scenes. We don't know none of that. What is it going to take for you to quit? I believe that would be the measuring gauge of what you, do you have. What you have is, what would it take to stop you? What would it take to cause you to pull your foot off the gas and slam the brakes on? Say, whoa, I didn't get in with any of these conditions in mind. Actually, when you get saved, you don't get saved with any conditions in mind. I don't know. I don't know that God ever saves anybody that comes to the table with conditions and contracts. Okay, God, I'll let you save me if and but and start listing. I don't believe God's going to save. No. Because there was no conditions on his son, Jesus, on the cross. I'm going to let my son go to pay the sin debt, you know, but... And then start all of the conditions. Well, he's not going to this, and this is not going to happen. No, he was run through the ringer worse than any human being ever. But we got in our mind that when God saves my soul from sin, that he also saves me from troubles. He also saves me from valleys. He also saves me from burdens. I'm a child of God. Nobody should mistreat me. Are we, the servant, better than our master? Look how he was treated. Amen. We better get ready. We need to be looking at our heart's devotion, our commitment. How strong of a desire, let me back that up. How strong of a love. Desire comes out of love. How strong of a love do you have for the Lord Jesus Christ? If you be a disciple of the Lord, I mean really a follower of the Lord, this world is going to hate you, and that's scriptural. This world is going to hate you. But most churches today, especially a lot of this modern day emerging church, you know, they have built a bridge to where the world loves them. Something's wrong with that picture. This world, this same world that you and I live in, would crucify Jesus again today if they could do so and if he would allow it. They hate him. And they'll hate you if you resemble him. The very identity, the term of Christian, is found three times in the Word of God. And it was first given, they were first called Christians at Antioch. Why? Because of their resemblance to Jesus. They resembled him in their looks, their actions, their responses, their reactions, their attitude. Everything about them was a resemblance of Christ. And so they were talking down to them when they called them Christians. That wasn't a praise statement. That was an identity or a title of shame, supposedly. Oh, you're just like Jesus. You're just little Christ. But nobody wants to be resembling Christ. They want to go to heaven, but they don't want to be like him. I don't understand that. You can preach about biblical sanctification. You can preach about those truths like that or along those same lines. And people inside the church will get mad at you. Amen. I don't understand it. I don't know what other people have. I know what the Lord did for me when he saved me. He changed my life, changed my attitude toward sin, toward self, toward church, toward the Bible. I mean, it changed me. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. That's right. If you're not new, then you're still the you. The old you is still there. Amen. May the Lord help us today. There's just been a variety of things said and preached and testified about and sung about in the service this morning that just, it's just been truth, just truth coming into the service, truth coming in and helping us, amen. Except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. My goodness. The greatest need in our day is for individual Christians to die biblically as it's presented, die to self. The Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian probably ever known in our knowledge, brought the gospel to the Gentile world. We're saved today because the Apostle Paul didn't quit. And he kept saying a lot about death, didn't he? I die daily. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live by in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I believe that's the reason God used Paul on the level that he did was because he lived as a dead man, dead to his old life, dead to his wants, dead to his comfort zone. That's why it didn't bother him when they put him in prison or beat him. It didn't matter whatever happened to him, he stayed the same. Because it was never about him. He never had the entitlement mentality. I didn't deserve that. I didn't do nothing wrong. I don't deserve that or whatever. He never had that. Whatever came his way, he just quoted Romans 8:28. By the way, God used him to write that verse. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and them who are the called according to his purpose. That's right. That's right. Amen. So we better get ready. This day of casual Christianity is over. The day of just comfortable, no challenge, just blend in, conform to the world type Christianity stuff. Those days are over. There's trials coming our way, testings coming our way, difficulties coming our way that's going to surface those that are born again. Those that are really born again, it's going to surface them. Other than that, they're going to be quitting, they're going to be walking off. Amen. I don't want to ever be a part of that. I don't want to quit. I don't want to be a part of the quitting crowd. Amen. And by the grace of God, I say this with all my heart. By the grace of God, I pray about it. I want to have and maintain an independent spirituality. That's not isolation. An independent spirituality says that my relationship and commitment's to the Lord, and if everybody I know quits, I still have everything I need to go forward. You better have that. You better not have a socially based spiritual life. You better not have that. Because you're probably going to be surprised who and how many falters between now and the coming of the Lord. I've already been just blown away with it. I mean people that have preachers' families, you know, I mean every category inside the church, every category. Family, friend, you name, they walk away. They're walking away. What are you going to do? If you've got your spiritual transmission in neutral, you're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to go anywhere. And I trust the Lord to help us to be getting prepared. Getting prepared. I was thinking about the little ant, you know, how the Proverbs tells us, God tells us to go and consider the ant. Look at that. Man, they're busy, 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 busy. You know why? They know winter time's coming. It don't matter how cold it gets, it don't kill them because they're making all their pre-plan, pre-preparation, all of those things are in place so they can survive the storm. And if you know anything about this Bible, the storm is coming. The storm is coming. Troubles are coming. Heartaches are coming. And most people today are coasting. They're just coasting and they're taking it easy. The calm before the storm. They're just, man, this is so good. America's back on track. No, America's not on track. America's off track, major. Train wreck off the rails. God help us. Amen. All right, let's bow for just a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us. Father, we come in Jesus' name this morning. I do want to thank you, Lord, for being our best friend. Lord, I want to thank you for what we have already heard this morning. I want to thank you, Lord, for speaking to my heart in the Sunday school hour, the challenge even from the very opening of Sunday school of prayer, the emphasis on prayer. Lord, we thank you for Brother Hendricks and his wife singing in the Sunday school hour and preaching to us. What a challenging message. A message, Lord, that we need to hear. A message that we need to hide in our heart and that we need to heed. And Lord, when troubles and trials are coming, Lord, help us just tell ourselves. May our faith rise up and speak to us and just let us know that God's developing the harvest. God's getting us ready for the harvest. That corn of wheat falls to the ground and it dies. But because it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. And Lord, through our difficulties, you're just developing a harvest. Through the storms of life, you're developing a harvest. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Help us to not quit. Help us to not complain. Help us to not murmur. Lord, please help us to not get distracted with all that's going on. Please help us to not listen to the voice of our imaginations as we are so prone to imagine things that are not even so. I pray that you will help us to be what the Bible tells us four times in the scripture, the just shall live by faith. Lord, may our faith be in the forefront, not our feelings, Lord, not our emotions, but dear Father, help us to have our faith out there, anchored in the facts of your word. Thank you for our visitors being with us today. I pray, Lord, that you will have encouraged them, help them, strengthen them, and do, Lord, in their heart what is needed. And we'll give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I believe the Lord is wanting me to do something just a little different right here. I'm going to trust him on it. Amen. I want you to open with me to the book of Proverbs. That's not where I read when I come to the pulpit. That's not where I originally planned to go, but that's all right. Proverbs chapter 12. I was wanting to go into John 7, but that maybe be for another time tonight or whenever the Lord wants it. Proverbs chapter number 12. I want a verse of scripture that, verse 25. I want you to notice this passage of scripture. Proverbs 12, verse number 25. I want everybody to listen. Heaviness in the heart. I want you to note that statement right there. Heaviness in the heart. If that's not a truth that is being realized on levels now like no other time, heaviness in the heart. Heaviness, burdens, anxiety, cares, troubles, just that weightiness that's laying upon our hearts. Amen. I was talking to someone and Brother Raines, Brother Larry Raines, he's getting well up in years and still a faithful man of God, still traveling, preaching, and he says as he's been traveling, pastored for many years, but as he's been traveling, he made this statement. He said, worship is all but gone out of the house of God. He said, I go to churches, their doctrine's right, but they don't worship. I go to churches that, you know, they've got separation down, sanctification, whatever, but their worship is gone. Could it be that this is the description as to why heaviness is in the heart? Heaviness in the heart of man, look what it does. Maketh it stoop. But thank God for those conjunctions, those divine changing words that takes a negative and says, but, and then here comes a positive, but a good word maketh it glad. Thank God for that blessed truth this morning. Heaviness in the heart I don't like, but I like how that verse ends. But a good word. But a good word. Sometimes it's the heaviness in the heart that adds an element of goodness to that word. Just like a valley a lot of times helps us to look at the mountains a lot better. Amen. Heaviness in the heart maketh it stoop. Let's look at that just for a little bit this morning. Heaviness in the heart. Suicide today is at an all-time high. The rates of suicide is an all-time high. Depression is at an all-time high. I mean, you think about any category down through that line of thinking, like depression and so forth, and suicide and all of that, and alcoholism and drugs and all those things are homes busting up. I mean, all of it. What could it come? Right there it is. Heaviness in the heart maketh it stoop. You'll not tolerate that long. You're going to make some decisions, and if heaviness is in the heart, most of the time those decisions are not going to be right. Heaviness in the heart maketh it stoop. First thing, if you'll notice this, the first thing notice is the reality of heaviness in the heart. It's a real thing. Denying it don't fix it. Denying it and being self-denial, say, well, you know, like the word of faith crowd, you know, they just say, speak to it and all of that. But here I want you to notice something, the reality, the word heaviness has to do with anxiety, care, fear, or sorrow, or worry. Put those words in there, heaviness, anxiety, sorrow, worry, care, fear in your heart does what? Maketh it stoop. I believe it's evident that we have hearts that are stooped or stooping in the house of God. And Solomon wrote this because he no doubt had experienced it. He had far more fame and fortune than anyone of his day. But yet he still could write about heaviness in the heart. Heaviness doesn't care about your social or financial status. Heaviness. How do you handle heaviness? I don't have to ask you this morning, do you have heaviness in your heart? Probably everyone in here to some degree or another has an element of heaviness, burden, that heavy weightiness in your heart. But what are we doing about it? How are we handling it? How are we responding to it? Now the world, listen, when heaviness comes into the heart of people that are not saved, they're subject to go toward alcohol and drugs and they're subject to do a number of things. What are they doing? They're trying to find relief. They're trying to find an alternative. They're trying to find some kind of help with that heaviness. And burdens are going to be a part of our life. I wish it wasn't that way, but it is. In fact, most of us in here would not be what we are and where we are spiritually if we hadn't been through some things. God allows us to go through some things to build structure in our life. He allows us to go through some things so we can learn what not to do next time. He allows us to go through some things so that we can make some changes for the next time that we face something in our life. But heaviness is going to be a part of life. You look at it, it's in the scripture. Heaviness, heaviness, heaviness. And we have to deal with those things. And you know what it all goes back to? There's always people asking the question, well, why is this? And why did God allow that? And why all of the destructive things that are happening in our world? It's not God that's doing it. If God was doing it, then you could blame him. You can't blame him. He's not the one that's doing it. It goes back to sin. It goes back. People die. Well, you know, people die. Mom and dad died back-to-back years, 06 and 07 in my life. Devastating. It didn't devastate me to the point that I quit or wanted to quit or thought about quitting, But it hurt. It hurt deeply when mom and dad was going, I know Brother Mike's dad died recently. And that's a hurt, buddy, that it's hard to handle. It's hard to get over. It's hard to heal. It's hard to get past that. I've walked through those waters. But I know this, that God can help us. Heaviness, even that type of heaviness in the heart, maketh it stoop. But a good word. Maketh it glad. Taking that heaviness that's in the heart and turning it around to where it is gladness in the heart. How many would rather have gladness in your heart than heaviness in your heart? Why, sure, amen. But the thing of it is, when reality sets in, and this truth is taught in the scripture. Let me give you some verses. Proverbs 14 and verse number 10. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. Well, I mean, people today, you know that's bitter. Bitterness will eat your lunch. Bitterness will eat you alive. Amen? And a lot of people's bitter, and they think, well, to deal with bitterness is to blame whoever or to blame whatever. That don't fix it. In fact, a lot of times that makes it worse. Amen. I want to be right with the Lord, don't you? I was praying this morning. I said, Lord, these are days where it'd be real easy to get bitter. These are days where it'd be real easy to get upset and mad and just withdrawn and be just crawling a hole and pulling in on top of you. It'd be real easy to do that. Amen. With all the disappointments, with all the letdowns, with all the things that happened and nobody asked you about it. It just happened inside of your little world, but you had to deal with it. Heaviness in the heart. There's a reality to that fact. Proverbs 15 and verse 30. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is broken. The sorrow of heart. We don't have a large congregation here this morning, but we would probably be shocked if it could be put on the screen what heartache is represented right here this morning. What burdens are being carried right here in this service this morning. Amen. You'd probably be shocked. Amen. That's why church needs to be a spiritual hospital to where people can come and get some help. Proverbs 17, verse 22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Proverbs 18, verse 14, the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, listen, a wounded spirit, who can bear? How many people's got wounded spirit? Boy, listen, we need to be careful. We need to be careful that we don't let our wounds be the end of us. Make sure that our wounds don't change us in a negative fashion. Psalms 38, verse 6, I am troubled. David said, I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. If that happened to David, David felt that way. You and I probably feel that way. Psalm 42 and verse number 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Here David said twice, and I only read one of those verses, but twice in Psalm 42, David said that exact word, saying to himself, my soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Why art thou cast down? I wonder how many saved, they're born again, but you're inside, there's a weighty, heavy, burden, cast down spirit on the inside. I don't know about you, but I've had that. And I don't like it. I don't like the thoughts that I have associated with that. I don't like the fact that my ear becomes tuned in to some of the things the devil may want to whisper in my ear. Amen. Nobody's ever quit and walked away when they were on the mountaintop. Nobody's ever thrown in the towel, so to speak, when everything in your life was going great. No, it was when there was heaviness in the heart. when there was sorrow of heart, when there was a broken, wounded spirit within you, that's when decisions are made that most, if you make a decision and a broken spirit is behind it, a wounded spirit is behind it, a heaviness in the heart is behind that, 9 times out of 10, if not 10 times out of 10, you're going to make a wrong decision. Because you're going to make a decision not as based on a good, sane thoughts, good wisdom. You're going to be making a decision on something to try to make me feel better. And the devil will whisper everything in the book in your ear to try to suggest to you what to do. So if you're wounded or if you're heavy-hearted, there's heaviness in your heart this morning. Listen, and I've been doing this. That's why I can preach this. Listen, you need to slow down on any decision and walk slowly and prayerfully and carefully because you're vulnerable in those moments. Make sure that your spiritual life is where it needs to be. Make sure your relationship to God's Word is where it needs to be. Make sure that you have some facts that direct you rather than feelings that direct you. There's the reality of heaviness. Number two, there's the reach of heaviness. There's heaviness around you, but that doesn't affect you. When heaviness becomes an issue, listen now, when heaviness becomes an issue is when this verse says there's heaviness in the heart. When heaviness, now just the reality of it, we're in a world of it. It's a real world, and it don't matter what country you go to, there's heaviness everywhere you go. That's why everywhere you go, people need Jesus. Amen. But I want you to know that not only is there the reality of heaviness, but there's the reach of heaviness in that it can reach your heart. And someone said it well. I don't remember. I don't know who the original was, but they said it right. The heart of every problem is a problem of the heart. Everything is a heart issue. Amen. That's right. You say, preacher, the devil's this, and the devil's doing this, and the devil's doing that. No, no, no. That's not what's whipping you. What's whipping you is inside of you, and it's your heart. It's a matter of the heart. Amen. That's good preaching right there. But woe be unto us. We're living in a world of heaviness on every hand and in every direction and in every category. But Brother Chuck, when it starts getting in your heart, when heaviness starts getting in your heart, desires start to leave. For spiritual desires, scriptural desires, they start to leave. Amen. Your thought starts to turn from spiritual to carnal. There's no good outcome from it. When heaviness gets in the heart, and it's shown in this verse to be a negative. Heaviness in the heart maketh it what? Stoop. It doesn't have a good effect. It has a negative effect. And we also know that the heaviness in this context is in a negative setting because of the changeover at the end of that verse. But a good word maketh it glad. So this heaviness here is not a spiritual heaviness. This heaviness here is not a burden that will help you. This is what will cause you to give up. This heaviness, if you don't handle it, it will handle you. If you don't handle it spiritually and scripturally, it's going to handle you. Amen. Heaviness in the heart. There is the reach of this heaviness. If it reaches the heart, it's in danger. You know why? Just like your automobile. All of the controls are on the inside. The steering wheel, the gas, everything is on the inside. And so it is with you spiritually. You can't blame anybody else around you. You have to realize all of the controls is on the inside. I'm in the condition I'm in. I'm going in the direction I'm going in. All because of the inside. The one sitting in the driver's seat. The one who has their hands on the steering wheel. Amen. heaviness, the reach of it gets into the heart. Proverbs 4:23, everybody ought to memorize that verse of Scripture. Everybody ought to memorize that verse of Scripture. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep it. That means guard it, protect it, maintain it. Be a watchman on the wall over your heart. The goal behind heaviness is to reach your heart. Much damage comes from that. Number three, not only do we see the reality of this heaviness in the heart, and we see the reach of this heaviness as it gets into the heart, it's easier to keep it out than it is to get it out. It's easier to keep bitterness out than to try to get it out. It's easier to stay out of the ditch than it is to try to get out of the ditch. Amen. If you see yourself, and by the way, I've said this many times, listen, you need to keep your eye on your own spiritual life. You should be the first one to identify decline. You should be the first one to identify that you're not where you were spiritually or where you need to be spiritually. You should be the first one that'll be honest and look in the mirror and say, I'm losing ground. I'm losing ground, and deal with it. Because when it becomes evident to the pastor, becomes evident to other people, that the process of decline has been in motion for weeks, months, or even longer. The reality of it, the reach of it. But number three, note the response of it. The response, the effect that it has on your heart. It doesn't just come into your heart, but it has an effect upon your heart. What does it cause? Maketh it. Look at that term, maketh. Maketh it stoop. Maketh it stoop. That word maketh it stoop means to depress. To depress. Listen to the rest of the definition. It means to, and I'll explain this in a minute, it means to prostrate or reflect, to express homage to royalty or to God, to bow yourself down, to crouch, to fall down, to humble yourself before an object or a person. Maketh it stoop means to make it obeisance, means to do reverence. The word stoop in this verse is a word that in its first mentioned form in the book of Genesis. In Genesis, let me find that verse of Scripture. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 1, this same word, stoop, or the Hebrew word stoop, translated stoop, is used there as bow down. And it's used when Abraham bowed himself toward the ground before the Lord. I don't know if y'all see that connection. The connection there, when heaviness gets in your heart, it causes your heart to do what it's supposed to do before the Lord. It causes it to crouch down, a gesture of submission. It causes the heart to stoop, and the word stoop is in its context and in its definition used in worship of God. Giving obeisance to God, giving worship to God. In fact, several times in the Old Testament, this same Hebrew word that is translated stoop is translated worship. You say, what's that? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the response of allowing heaviness to be in your heart and to remain in your heart is that it's going to make your heart stoop, crouch, bow down, submit to things, people, emotions that it's not of God. Instead of bowing down to God, you're bowing down to whatever. When I'm defeated, Brother Hendricks, when I'm defeated, that means I've bowed down to someone or something that wasn't God. Is that not a form of idolatry? If you It maketh my heart stoop. And that's in a negative context. It maketh my heart stoop, bow down. Amen. And it's used in the light of worship. So that's meaning I'm pulling worship. Come on now. When heaviness gets in your heart, it pulls worship and adoration away from God and devotes it to a problem and devotes it to a person and devotes it to whatever is behind the heaviness. How does God feel when that happens? How does that make God feel when he sees his people, listen, allowing heaviness to reach their heart? I said that on purpose, just like that. Allowing heaviness to reach the heart. You could stop it before it gets there. You could stop it before that it becomes a full-blown problem. If I'm not right, if I'm not accurate in what I'm preaching this morning, then somebody please help me. Well, somebody please tell me, where's all the joy at in God's people? Where's all the joy at in God's house? The saddest place you can go in our day, in most cases, is to the local church. That's not God's will. I tell you what the problem is, heaviness in the heart. Heaviness in the heart that is causing our heart to stoop. It's causing our heart to devote. Look at the elements of worship. What's involved in worship? Your attention. When heaviness is in your heart, your attention is on whatever that object is, whatever that problem is, whoever that person is, and that heaviness is fueled by attention. You can't worship without attention. Your mind is involved in worship, so it is heaviness in the heart of man maketh it to stoop, pulls worship away from God, and directs your attention. Worship involves all of that. Attention. Worry and weightiness, burdens, is probably one of the greatest hindrances to spirituality. A lot of people are not nowhere close to being where they need to be with the Lord, and it's not because of what's going on around them. It's what's going on in them. Amen. Amen. The smallest ship, the smallest boat can be in the deepest sea, but it'll never sink until the sea starts getting in the ship. It can throw it around and toss it around, but it's got to, before danger comes, the sea has got to start getting in the ship. Troubles and problems and things that brings about that heaviness in the heart that can be all around us, and it is. You don't even have to watch the news. You don't even have to look at the headlines. Oh, my goodness. I believe that whole crowd is as confused as they can be. They don't know which ends up. And that'll get in you if you're not careful. Over the last, 18 months or so, all this mess going on, everybody is so full of fear. They're so full of confusion. They don't know what to do. They don't know who's telling the truth. They don't know who's right, who's wrong. They don't know. And they're just, some of them are so gullible. They're just whatever they're being told to do. Now line me up, sign me up, I'll do the next. I'll be next. They're not even thinking for themselves. Heaviness around us is not what is the problem. Heaviness, when it reaches the heart, is the problem. Miss Nikki, y'all are not alone. Feeling that burden and that just that weight and the attacks. Listen, the devil don't kick a dead horse. No offense, sis. She's got horses. Probably none dead though, right? Yeah. The devil don't kick a dead horse. If you're not bothering him, he's not going to bother you. And that's why a lot of people don't do no better than they're doing spiritually, is that they're wanting to be on peaceful terms with the enemy. But that man that wrote that song, "I have decided to follow Jesus," he didn't have that passive spirituality that wanted to go along to get along, and if you can't beat them, join them. No, he watched his kids be taken. He watched his wife be taken. And then did he lose his life? He lost his life, and he kept singing and wrote the song, and we've sung it. I've sung it. I never knew the story, but I'll never forget that story. I have decided to follow Jesus. Trouble's going to come. Attack's going to come. Battle's going to come. You better believe it. Why? Because the devil, if you're bothering him, he's going to bother you. Amen. Oh, but God, help us to raise up another generation that don't worry and don't gauge our change and gauge our choices on what's going to bother the devil. Amen. Well, now if I go to the altar and surrender my life to Jesus, the devil's going to really fight me. And that has caused a lot of people to not go to the altar and not surrender, to avoid a fight. How are you going to feel about that? How are you going to feel about that when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? How are you going to feel when you, and I'm talking about saved people, that tried to dodge responsibility and spirituality and commitment and surrender and all of that. You're trying to dodge all of that. Oh, I'm not going to go to no altar. I'm going to go so far, but I'm not going to go all the way. How are you going to feel when you go and you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? And that body he's in is the exact body he was buried in. Don't believe these pictures that's got Jesus with a little droplet of blood here and a little trinkle there, a little scratch here. And no, friend. Isaiah 53 said his visage was marred more than any man. He looked like being at the scourging, the cat of nine tails. Looked like he'd been run through a meat grinder. Most of the people that went through that never even lived through it. They didn't even make it to the crucifixion. They died there as the cat of nine tails ripped the hide off and the blood and the bone, flesh and bone was exposed. I'm not trying to be gruesome, but I want you to know that, listen, Jesus Christ could have very well had even his entrails showing and hanging out. You say, that's nasty, preacher. No. Not when you realize that's a part of the price of our redemption. That should have been my scourging. That crown of thorns should have been mine. That cross should have been mine. The beating should have been mine. All that went with it should have been mine. But Jesus said, "I'll take your place." And he came, bled, and died, not for his sin, because he had none. But he took my sin and your sin, the sin of the world, and he died on an old rugged cross underneath the judgment of God and the penalty of the law of God so that we could be saved. So what are you going to do when you tiptoe around the tulips spiritually, trying to avoid every little thing, every little problem, every little battle, every little issue, trying to avoid it, just trying to pacify everybody. What are you going to do when you meet Jesus and you were that passive, soft, man-pleasing Christian, and you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is going to be revealed in that same body that he rose from the dead in. You know why, Brother Chuck? So that we will forever be reminded, that's the price. That's why I'm here. I got to come to heaven because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Heaviness in the heart has a response of making it to stoop. But then, thank God, there's a reversal. And I don't have time to deal with this, but you can just get it and write it down. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. But here comes the reversal. Here comes the remedy. Here comes the help. I want to end the service this morning letting you know there is help for heaviness that's in the heart. Don't just let it hang around. I've been preaching this to me. I've been studying on this and looking at this in my own heart. Amen. What am I doing to handle heaviness in my heart? If I don't do something, and I am responsible. I am responsible of it getting into my heart, so I'm responsible for it getting out of my heart. It don't come in without your consent, and it's not going to leave without your consent. It came in by choice, it's going out by choice. Are you listening? You don't have to let it linger. And that's the easy part. Oh, you know what? I'm just going to be the victim from here on out, and I'm not ever going to smile again. Some of you wonder if you're ever going to smile again. Some of you ever wonder, will we ever sing again? Will we ever shout again? Will we ever walk in victory again? You know, we've been hurt, and we've been this, and we've been that, and this has happened, that's happened, and all, amen, in our world, our world. Close proximity, but also in our world. And nobody asked me what's going on in Afghanistan. Nobody asked me nothing on that. Nobody asked me what goes on in Washington. Nobody asked me. And nobody asked you, I guarantee it. But I'm still in this world. And if I'm not careful, I will let the heaviness get in my heart and stay there. Oh, it's bad for it to get in. No, nothing good comes from it. Takes worship away from God. Causes you to couch down and crouch down before things and problems. Can we think about that as believers? Bowing down to a problem? Bowing down to an issue? Bowing down to an attitude? Bowing down to however somebody's treating me? And let that weightiness get in your heart? To the point that stoop, remember I pointed it out, it is a gesture in posture to submission. It's in the animal kingdom. We've all seen, if you watch many of them animal shows, wolves. We used to have chickens. It's in the chicken. Them inferiors. Brother Willis's crew, Miss Emmy, they could probably testify to that. If there's a weak one, the rest of them will peck it and kill it. It'll wear it out. And the wolves in their pack, there's always going to be an alpha female and an alpha male. And there's usually a lot of fighting involved as to which one is going to be in those two positions. And I've watched some of those shows where the pack would come around and whatever, and those inferiors, Brother Jeter, those inferior wolves that probably already had their tail whipped, when they'd get around the superior, they would couch down and lower their head and lower their tail and just letting them know in gesture that you're the big dog. Are you telling your problem? You're the big dog. God's trying to help us this morning. If I'd have went the way I thought I was going to go this morning, I'd have missed God sure as I'm standing here. Heaviness in the heart maketh it stoop. But a good word. Where's a good word at, preacher? I know y'all probably can't see it, but is there a good word in my hand? How many's got a King James Bible in your hand? I want you to raise it up right there. There's a good word. That's a good word that changes the heaviness in the heart, Brother Carroll, to glad. How many would rather trade? That's a good term. Brother Hendricks, even in your country, probably anybody with any sense would gladly trade heaviness, burdens, anxiety, sorrow, troubles for gladness of heart. But how many will continue to carry around and walk around and smother and struggle with heaviness in the heart? And instead of trying to fix it, instead of trying to get past it, Miss Vicki, we try to justify it. Well, if you knew what I've been through, then you'd know how I feel. Then you'd understand why I don't smile at church or even go. What good is that? You might can draw in enough clues and enough evidence to justify the fact that you are far from being what you used to be or need to be, but what good is that? Are you going to get a trophy for self-justification in heaven? Negative. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word. I know I'm not a prophet nor the son of one, but I tell you what you do, because I know how the tendencies are in my life. When heaviness starts getting in the heart, your relationship to that book, friend, starts getting like this. I've asked people many times, they tell me about basically, for lack of a better term, heaviness that's in their heart. I said, well, what are you doing about it? Tell me what you're doing about it. Are you exposing yourself to where the good word is preached? Are you exposing yourself to where in song the good word is sung? Do you open the pages of the Word of God when nobody's around to expose your personal attention to the good word? No, most of the time days come and days go and the Bible stays closed. But guess where your attention's at? On my heaviness. And who did it? And who said it? And what was it? Oh God, help us. If I've ever seen a verse of Scripture that is very practical and very present, it's that verse right there. Heaviness in the heart. Heaviness in the heart. Make of this stoop, but a good word. Well, I wish I'd had plenty of time to dealt with that. But if you can get connected to this, I've dealt with people that struggle. Who don't? Lord help us. We're in struggle zone. They're struggling, evidently struggling. They say, preacher, we're struggling, I'm struggling. And I say, well, what are you doing about it? You're struggling, what are you doing about it? And when there's this, this is the response. Yeah. Because they knew what my question was. What are you spiritually doing about it? What are you scripturally doing about it? I know you're doing something about it, but if it's not scriptural and spiritual, then you're not fixing it. You're making it worse. Because it's the good word that maketh it glad. It's the good word that turns it around. It's the good word that says to heaviness, adios. You can't linger. The good word and heaviness can occupy the same heart. Oh, if you've got a problem with heaviness in the heart, fill your heart with the word of God. Psalm 119, hide thy word. David said, I will hide thy word in my heart that I might not sin against God. Amen. Amen. If you're hungry, where do you go? The kitchen or a restaurant. You go somewhere where that need can be addressed. Isn't that something? Boy, well, that's deep right there, isn't it? If you're sick, where do you go? Where? If you can find one, you go to a doctor. If your car's broke down, where do you go? Now, we're scoring already. Two questions, we're ranking 100 right here. If car's breaking down, you got problems, brother, man, put you on the spot. Where do you go? Oh, what about that? Home run over the fence. You know what the key component to all them three questions were? The common denominator? You take the problem to where it can be addressed. Heaviness in the heart, what addresses it? The good word. Good word. Amen. God help us. I believe there's help for us. I've tried to handle it. I think, well, now if I handle it, if I keep, you know, but it don't. It starts handling me. Because the longer it stays in my heart, the bigger it gets. The more attention it gets. The more attitude it gets. The more actions it gets. I mean, if you see yourself because of heaviness in your heart becoming real short-fused with people, and I mean, boy, you just like that, you ready to bite somebody's head off, I'll give them a piece of my mind. That lets you know your heaviness is not being handled. Your heaviness is handling you, and it's filling your heart with that hopeless bowing down to the domination. It's causing everything around you to have dominion over you. You're bowing down to it. We're going to rise up this morning and say, no more. I'm a child of God. I've been saved by the good grace of God. Amen. The Spirit of God is within me. I have the Word of God. I have all things that pertain to life and godliness has already been given to me. I'm going to implement. I'm going to start putting in motion those things that the Bible tells me. Amen. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing how that people will do things and go places instead of going to church to where they at least possible. I said, look, you may not get help at church, but I said at least you're at where the chances are real high that you'll hear about something that'll help you. You're not going to get help just staying at the house. You're not going to get help just wallowing around in self-pity. How many's ever been helped with self-pity? Self-pity. Miss Amber, me and you in the same boat. We've tried it, though, haven't we? Haven't we? We've tried it. Lord, help us. I could probably write a book on it. But most time when I have a self-pity party, guess who shows up? Nobody but me. And that makes it worse. I can't believe they didn't come. I can't believe they say they love me. I can't believe they didn't come and just kindly help me out with my self-pity and pat me on the. Here's how you help people out with self-pity. Poor thing. I understand, Lord. If I'd gone through that, I'd be worse. No, that's not what you need. You don't need sympathy. Sympathy doesn't bring a reversal to heaviness in the heart. What is it that helps? A good word. A good word. A good word. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here this morning. Lord, I thank you, Father, for stirring my heart. Lord, in this direction. Lord, I know that, and you know, that, Lord, I've been dealing with this, struggling with this, hurting, trying, and I've been, instead of just dealing with it or allowing it, Lord, I've been trying to pray about it. Lord, how can I fix it? Lord, how can I address it? How can I bring my attention to it and recognize it, not as a positive, but recognize it as a negative? Heaviness. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. And it could very well be that there's lost, and well, no fact, the definite is there's lost people here by their own testimony. There's people here today that is not saved. Heaviness in their heart is the same as heaviness in my heart. And it'll cause their heart to stoop and it'll cause them to bow down to something. It'll cause them to go and look in various areas for help when there's no help to be found. It'll cause them to look in the alcohol world. It'll cause them to look in the immoral world. It'll cause them to look in the drugs world. And there's no help to be found. But may they understand even this morning that it's a good word. A good word from the Word of God, that will bring about help. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that that heaviness in their heart will cause them to come to Jesus and bow down to you and say, Lord, I submit to you. I give you my attention, my affection, my action, my adoration. I give it all to you. Lord, I wonder even in the service this morning, how many really has come to you and said, Lord, here I am, and all that I am and all that I ever shall be, I give it to you. Lord, we've had a lot of mission emphasis over the past 4 weeks. And Lord, I don't know of anything that would hinder my burden about missions. More. I don't know of anything hinder that more than having my heart filled with burdens. Having my heart filled with heaviness and cares and fears and sorrows. Lord, there's help for us. And I'm the first one in this whole crowd that would admit, Lord, I need you to help me, but I also need to help myself. Because we already have the good word. Lord, I don't know what people's, if they're struggling. I don't know what they're facing, what they're fighting, what they're feeling. I don't know. But Lord, I pray that they'll not befriend the heaviness in the heart and look at it as, well, this is just normal. Everybody else is feeling this way also. But dear Father, may we recognize that heaviness in the heart is a negative, and it doesn't have a positive effect on us. It will cause our heart to stoop. But I'm glad you gave us the remedy. I'm glad you gave us the reversal. We need a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. May your will be done this morning in Jesus' name.